What you gonna do with all that junk? All that
What's junk going on, everybody? We got a mediocre guest today. Mike Morelli. He is a director of a independent film called. We can't say it on air.
Yeah, we cannot.
We should really go over that,
what we can and cannot say, because
right.
I'm going to have a big problem with that, I feel like.
Well, we can spill it out, and it's S-H-I-T Head, that is the movie's title.
You can get away with that on the air?
Yeah, we can get away with spelling it.
Okay.
Or like, Shateed. We can figure that one out. I mean, the one thing I maybe wish that we did, there's a show on IFC called mm-hmm. Schitt's Creek. But it's the last name. And that's how you spell. That's how they spell their last name is S-C-H-Y-T-T-E.
Well, it sounds exactly the same when you said it, and like I was like, oh, you just said it. And
but it's a last name. Yeah. I mean, I wish we had done the same thing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, several people had mentioned the Shateed, because that is apparently a popular first name nowadays.
It's actually a weird like name, like, but you know what's funny is like I wonder if say that the movie gets like Clerks big or something like that, and you've got to like everybody you go on has to like dance around the title.
Yeah, you know if that'd be a good problem to have.
I'll
hope for that problem.
it's still the funniest, like,
yeah.
Nowadays, you can say that word after 11 o'clock on mm-hmm. anything like FCC regulated,
mm-hmm.
which is nice. But I hear everything about the movie is terrible, except this one gem of an actor. His name is something like Tim Chevalet.
You know what? I would absolutely agree with you. I think other than Tim, there's pretty much no reason to watch
the
film.
Yeah. No, surprisingly, the movie is it was feeling good. I for anybody who wants to know what it's about, it's about this kid. He's probably like in his early 20s. I'm assuming.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's just like a useless human being. He's that guy that you grew up in high school with, and like you're like, yeah, that guy's gonna go nowhere, and he went nowhere. And you know, he's that guy who gets high every day. He lives with his dad. He's on, like, this... In the universe, he created this fictional drug. It's called Chanko.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people don't realize, but Chanko isn't really fake. It's just something that's really not that well known.
Oh, it's not fake.
No, no. I mean, you can do it. It gets you really high. It's awesome. But,
oh, my God. It's so funny.
Yeah, but it's not really that well known and popular. So we were just trying to think of... Everybody said that. They're like, I never heard of Chanko. Yeah, it's crushed up scorpion exoskeletons. You need a specific type of scorpion. The ones from Taipei, Taiwan, my hometown. We get the local scorpions over there. You crush them up. You got to let them dry out for about a day or two. And you can snort them. You put them into a black powder. And like I said, it's awesome. Awesome.
Did you say that your hometown, you said?
Yeah.
That's where you're from?
Originally, yeah.
Oh, wow, really?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that.
I moved over here when I was a little bit older, but yeah, Taipei, Taiwan.
You're not messing with me, are you?
No, I was, you know, about like 6 years old when I came over here.
So, this kid does Chanko. He has his girlfriend with he lives with him and his father.
Mm-hmm.
They have a kid together. He doesn't care about the kid. He doesn't care about anything except getting high. That is like
correct.
And what makes the movie funny is that he just can't get high the entire time.
Well, you'll have to see the movie to find out, but
like that. That's the obstacle. Is like
yes.
I want to get high, but there are obstacles in the way, and that's what makes the movie so funny. You're rooting for him. I like to get
score
high.
Some Chanko.
Just
yeah.
Score some Chanko. Like
yeah.
that is like your end all be all. But it's an interesting story, because it's not the same cookie cutter like stuff, because I feel like you go that extra mile to make it different.
Mm-hmm.
One of the earlier scenes and what I think defines the film and the character is the fact that he tries to sell his own son for some drugs.
Yeah,
I think that is like genius.
You know, that's kind of what a lot of the overarching story we've been telling people is about the film. The aspect where he sells the baby.
So what is your fault? You told me your philosophy on humor. You take the box and you move it 3 inches to the left, and it's all of a sudden it's a serious film.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's about an addict. It's about, you know, a family that's like in distress and like
there's it's the perspective.
It's all about the perspective.
Yeah, you shift the perspective slightly a little bit, and a drama can become a comedy just by, you know, how you view it. And
right.
Certain things viewed from one angle are sad and terrible, and, you know, viewed from another angle, maybe, you know, selling your baby to your drug dealer is something that you might find funny.
Tell me about yourself, about where you grew up, about your schooling, stuff like that. Like, tell me about you, and then so we get a little bit.
Sure.
So we get a little bit about who the director is. By the time we know who you are, we can judge the film.
Oh yeah, sure. You know, it's interesting because I honestly, my background is not in filmmaking at all. I really don't know much about making films. You know, I watched the Stuart Little films when I was in an airplane once, and they were pretty interesting, I thought. But I always wanted to get into roller coaster design and construction. And,
right.
You know, I wanted to make like my more smaller, intimate coasters with, you know, that had more of a depth to them and a story, but, you know, it just didn't really work out. And I thought films were another avenue that was similar to roller coasters that I could pursue. And,
I mean, Batman and Robin the roller coaster.
Yeah.
Batman and Robin the film.
And that is literally better than any of the movies combined. That 2-minute roller coaster, you know, with the corkscrew part, you can't really beat that.
That's right. So I've seen clips here or there, and you know, you got this chump kid, Johnny Smith. I mean, he is just so bad.
yeah. I you know, I'm gonna disagree with you there.
Disagree. I mean, yeah.
I know you. I know Tim Chevallette and him didn't get along, but.
Not at all? Not on set at all? They didn't like each other?
You know, those scenes were tense, I have to say. Filming those scenes, but, you know.
I just feel like when it came to Johnny Smith, it seemed like he was way too committed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he tried way too hard to, like, care about the film. I thought the whole point of a film was to, like, sit there, not know your lines, and to not care about anything.
Like, yeah, well, he certainly knew his lines very well, and he showed up very prepared.
What loser does that?
And, you know, he got really into the role. He started smoking Chenko, and he can tell you all about it. You know, I didn't really tell too many of the other people on set about it other than him, because I wanted him to prepare for the role adequately.
And, right.
You know, I felt like he needed to experience that Chenko high and, you know, get the Chenko shakes.
The Chenko shakes. So, we talked about Johnny Smith. He's one of those guys who just, maybe he did too good of a job. Maybe he's just, you know.
He's just too naturally gifted as an actor to act
like him,
anymore.
Like, you know, like, it's.
Yeah, it's like a Mozart Salieri kind of thing. You just get so jealous of him, you hate him because he's
right.
So good.
Yeah,
and you're like, how is he so good?
Stop
being so good.
Like,
why am I not you?
Yeah, just like stop doing this. Like you don't need to like put us all to shame. We're gonna go through the cast here. We have Janae, who is the boyfriend or the girlfriend of Jordan, played by Erica Nicole Rothman. What was the experience like working with her? I mean, she is a pretty famous Philadelphia actress.
Yeah, yeah. She was nominated for Broadway World Award this year. Very talented young girl. Did a wonderful job in the film. It was great working with her as well. You know, I know she's probably not too happy about the... you've seen it, the shrine we've built to her.
Because she's just living perfection.
Yeah, and you know, I haven't really spoken to her verbally, but I do think we've communicated.
Right.
Because sometimes, you know, we have the shrine, and, you know, when I've got a problem with my day, you know, I just go kneel before the shrine, the Erica Rothman shrine, and I say, oh, you know, Erica, you know, please solve all my problems. Please make things better. And, you know, it usually works. You know, so
well, that's good. I mean, I'm so happy that it works.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, I really do feel like if you're gonna pray to anybody, you might as well pray to Erica Rothman.
But the reason I do stuff like that is because both of the leads on this film were absolutely phenomenal people. It was just great getting to know both Erica and Johnny. Johnny's this guy who loves ICP and Insane Clown Posse, and he's a well-trained Shakespeare actor, and he's also, you know, really into comic books and Spider-Man. And Erica, you know, she's more from the musical theater background. Just a really sweet girl. Really impressed me, you know, how she carried herself on set. You know, one of the younger people there, but you know you would never know that. Just true professional, and you know, super talented all around. You didn't need to do many takes with Erica,
right? And Jordan's father, you actually got a real third Peruvian war vet to
play. He fought in one of those wars. I don't really know which one. I don't know where they fought those wars, but he was in one of them,
right?
Yeah, Timothy Day Slisky, he was awesome. You know, I give him all the credit in the world for doing such a good job in his tidy whiteys for half the shoot.
Stephanie, the character of Stephanie is the
Carly J. Bauer. Yes.
Yeah, the best friend of
love
Janae.
Carly. Yeah, love Carly. She was phenomenal. Very another very talented young actress we had in the film. She did a great job. Snippy. Yeah, and you know, she had to endure, you know, I would say X-Men levels of makeup to get into her costume. It was almost like Mystique. We would have to bronze her up, and she would go through that every time we shot. And
every time.
Yeah, and you know, she is not that burnt in real life, just to let everybody know. It's makeup. So, you know, we'll actually be... we're going to be recording a song for the soundtrack with her relatively soon. And she's going to be singing an original song.
That's awesome.
Yeah, for the soundtrack that we're going to be recording that Colin's doing the music for.
That's awesome. Next we have The Cop, which is played by Justin Marenko, who he just could play a cop.
Yeah, and it's funny because
he plays a rookie cop.
That's one thing that Justin was complaining a little bit about. He's like, oh man, he's like, I look like a cop, and I keep getting these cop roles, but I hate cops.
It's so true though. And I mean, he couldn't. Looks so great as
he
a
does.
Cop.
He looks so perfect as a cop.
As a rookie cop.
Yeah,
especially.
Justin Marenko was phenomenal. He helped us out with some of the stunts in the film, the stunt coordination from his experience with the backyard wrestling, I believe it was. And he's very into being a cop.
For people who know what that's like. Well, I mean,
you didn't mention in the cast as well Timothy Paul Chevalet. Also incredible in the film. He gave a complete virtuoso performance in his role as Harvey Donut. Absolutely hilarious.
He's a British actor, I hear.
Well, we're actually re-recording all of his lines with another British actor. I wanted the English accent to be more pointed. So, you know, we're bringing on a new actor who's ADRing his entire lines. But his performance was great physically, but the dialogue not so much.
Wow, I guess you just gotta be that terrible to get ADR'd out, huh?
It's not really that uncommon, from what I understand.
Right.
I believe if you look at the Stuart Little movies, that mouse was not there. Okay, so you right. know they got that actor in there to voice over the mouse, and you think it's Stuart Little's a real mouse the whole time. Okay,
right.
So you know it can work really well.
So we're introduced to the first and second Peruvian War.
Correct.
I'm not a history buff, but can you explain those wars? I mean, like, I didn't hear much about
it. You know, I'm really just not that good with history, and I wanted it to be, like, one of those American wars that happened a few years ago. You hear all, like, the old people fought in, and I just forgot what it was called. And yeah. I'm like, oh, okay. And I just wrote Peru, and when I put out the script, they're like, what is this Peruvian war? And I didn't realize it wasn't a real war, so I just sort of ran with it. And I was like, oh, I made that up. Ha, ha, ha. It's hilarious, isn't it?
Good idea, yeah.
You know, it just was one of those things. It was sort of like, I guess, a mistake on my part that sort of worked out. But, you know, in the film, there's, I think, 3 or 4 Peruvian wars.
You also got multinational recording artist Faze Fouquet.
You're bringing him in here, huh? Very, very, very talented guy.
Yeah, I just
Stabby D. Don't forget, you can say Stabby D on the air. So
yeah, but I mean, like, Stabby D isn't as big a deal as like Faze Fouquet, who his single "I'm Still in Jail." I mean, that's huge right now.
Well, I thought it was I thought Stabby D, from what I'd heard, Stabby D was dead.
That could be true. I mean, who knows, like, what they're doing up in there? You have a website that people can actually give.
Correct.
It is Shahid, or if you want me to spell it out, it's SHIT head the movie
.com.
You can find links on there to actually donate and buy some merchandise.
Correct.
I think when we get back, we'll talk about Djo, so then you guys can get some Djo merchandise. And we are back with Mike Morelli, the director of Shahid. We're gonna talk about some of the famous people he had in there. One of them is pro basketball player Djo Djojevic.
Yeah, Djo.
Djo.
The Dej.
Where's he from again? He's a huge player. Figuratively and literally.
He's from the country formerly known as Yugoslavia. I believe he fought in the Serbian side of that civil war. If I remember correctly.
Wow.
Yeah. He had a very, you know, difficult upbringing, from what I understand. And, you know, basketball was his only way out of that. And, you know, being 12 feet tall really helped him to achieve his dream.
Right. I heard in the war he would just, like, grab people and, like, use their heads as basketballs.
Well, that's from what he told me, that's how he got started. As a player, you know,
right.
It sort of snowballed into his basketball career. You know, people saw him and they're like, oh, you're really, really tall. What would you be good for? Basketball.
Right.
You know, Yugoslavians love their basketball.
It was an honor to get, like, basketball murdered by DJ. You know, I heard that. Like, did you see him, like, last week? He stepped on that guy and that one player from the other team.
The banana dogs?
Yeah, the banana dogs.
Yeah. I understand when people say they shouldn't let him play. He's a giant. He's not really a human being. But I disagree with that because, you know, Djo has feelings. He may not look like he has feelings, but inside him somewhere there are emotions.
Right.
And I think we should let him play. He may hurt other people and...
DJ is a big part of the film through one of your characters, Donut.
Yeah, Harvey Donut.
Harvey Donut.
Harvey Donut wears a property of the San Antonio Hairdressers, which is Dijo's team. And he wears that and the home of Dijo. He's got a Dijo Fathead and Dijo Djojevic buffalo wing buckets that he likes to eat.
Is it tough to film someone that huge? I mean, you must have to get a special type of tripod.
Yeah, you know, it's tough. We're doing most of his work on green screen and just compositing him in later because he's just so gigantic. Shooting with Dijo is a challenge. Especially, feeding him, keeping him fed.
And keeping him not angry.
Well, he really doesn't have emotions too much. You know,
I heard he's just a killing machine.
Well, he does it accidentally. It's not like something he does intentionally. Oh. It's more of like a clumsy kind of thing, you know. Because Dijo is just, I think he's more of a gentle guy.
Right. You know? Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. I mean, like,
I've just heard of the horror of Dijo.
Yeah, and you know, that's why when you see him on the court, and you'll see him playing basketball, doesn't look like he's that into it. And because it's not really that much of a challenge for him. Right. And he doesn't seem like he's trying. And I doubt he is half the time. I mean, he's 12 feet tall. His head is, you know, just at the rim.
You have a lot of Dijo merchandise on your website. And
correct.
I have the website up.
There's the Dijo flip-flops, which, right. Honestly, he does not like. Because I wear them every day, and, I know that he just doesn't like seeing his face on my feet.
Right, because he's so used to having everybody else's face on his feet.
Yeah, and we do have on the page a donation. We've got several donation levels if you want to donate some money to support the film. And the top donation level we have is the Dijo, and we will, we'll make it happen. We can secure a meeting with Dijo. You know, maybe about 30 seconds to a minute. You know, that's all I'll give you. But you'll see him.
This is a touch legit, him. Like, no jokes.
Yeah, no, you can meet jokes. Him.
Like,
yeah.
This is serious. Like,
yeah.
Out of, like,
he's not happy about the real this. DJ. No, he's not happy about this at all.
No. But, I mean, you, how much is it?
It's $500.
$500. We're serious. Go to SHIT.
Head the movie.com.
Go to donations. You can actually meet Dijo. $500. It's a real
correct. Thing. Yes. He's 12 feet tall, I swear. And right. You can meet him. It's, that's tough because his schedule's very busy. He's all over the world, you know, dominating the NBA. But, we will track him down and get him for you so you can meet him.
You can also get a basketball hoop.
There's the Dijo basketball, mini basketball hoop.
Mini basketball
hoop. And, you could put that next to your trash. And, when you're, throwing stuff out.
You can feel like Dijo.
Yeah.
Let's look at all the accessories.
Well, we're actually going to be adding a lot more to this stuff. Right. We just sort of got this online not that long ago. There will be a lot more items. We've got shirts. We've got lighters. A ton of stuff that, you might not use every day, but, we'll have it. And if you ever need it and you wanted something for a movie you might not have ever seen before and isn't completed yet.
Right.
We got you covered. So.
Right. You also had Colin York as you're making the music.
Yeah, Colin York is extremely talented. He's a Los Angeles-based musician.
So and, I'm assuming Face Fouquet and Stabby D fell through for the entire track. I mean, they got what, one track to you?
They got me zero tracks.
Zero tracks.
Yeah, I repeatedly, would ask him for stuff, and it just went on and on. And
you shot the film with 360 Digital Studios, right?
Correct.
Robert,
we had a great team we work with 360 Digital Studios. The guys, Pat Woodruff, Brian Bentz, and Robert Mickles. They did a great job on the film. They shot the film and, helped us with the production. And, we shot it on the Red, and it's in 4K.
And you also have Tom Valentino coming at the end doing the pickup shots, right?
Yeah, well, Tom Valentino is a we like to refer to him more as an angel than any other role.
Right,
in the film.
I mean, like, he just appeared.
He just appeared out of nowhere, and he does everything that you could ask, and things you don't even ask.
He didn't exist before this movie, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I mean...
God made him specifically for this.
Yeah, you know, I he tells me he has a family, but I don't believe it.
Right, and I guess we have to talk about the script. I mean, never before has a script been written for a feature film by a supercomputer. The Technoid 4200 supercomputer. I want to live in a world where that's my master. I mean...
Well, you know, it's been in development for several years. You could break down... Like I said, I don't have a filmmaking background. I don't really watch films. I like the Stuart Little movies.
Right.
But, you know...
The Room. Best movie ever made.
I actually haven't seen that. I don't have that good of taste. I'm sorry. This software we developed is really complex. It breaks down the best moments of movies and mashes them in together in a one to actually generate a screenplay.
Right.
And, you know, like I said, it sort of came out originally as a drama. And, you know, after some revisions, we realized, you know, this is pretty ridiculous and could be funny, and we shot it as a comedy.
Is the computer going to be angry about that?
You know, I don't know if it has feelings yet or if it's reached the singularity point where it's able to do that.
Terminator could not happen right now, but you could have not invented Skynet. You've never seen the movie, so it's okay.
The Terminator films?
Yeah.
I've heard of them.
You don't know what
is this one of the Stuart Little sequels?
It might be.
Okay.
I mean, it.
Have you seen Stuart Little?
I have. I mean,
great film.
They're pretty similar to Terminator.
Did you know that mouse isn't real?
I didn't know that.
No, it's not a real mouse.
And the Nathan Lane sounding cat, was that real as well?
You know, I from what I understand, it was all fake.
All right. This is actually a joke. You can go on the website and donate. That's shitheadthemovie.com. Look it up. Just, you know, give it some traffic, and it's really funny. So we will be back very shortly. This is Needlepoint. Enjoy. And now we're back with Mike Morelli, the director of Shitheed. That's S-H-I-T, head. Cannot say it live. We have to...
You can't even say the title.
Can't say the title. Are you thinking about animating out Harvey Donut and, like, you know, getting an animated version of him? Maybe like a mouse or something.
You know, it's crossed my mind because that might be a better way to match the ADR, to just digitally make him a mouse.
Right.
It's a little bit expensive to do so. But you know,
this is why we're trying to raise money, right? Again, you could donate. You could follow us on Facebook too, right?
Yeah, we're on all them Twitchstagrams and stuff. If you're into that, we do it. So, you know, like I said, it's a movie you haven't seen yet. It's not even done yet. But if you go follow us and do all that stuff, it's gonna empower us to make it even better.
So, right.
I guess.
You'll get more excited for this, like, product that you don't even know about. You're going to be like, I sort of know this product.
Yeah, because, you know, I like to base my self-esteem on the number of likes I get. And
shame.
Yeah, and, you know, if I don't get that many likes, I don't feel good about myself.
What is your plan? I know you plan to release the film, like, sometime within the year or the next 10 years. I mean,
I really just would like to get it done at some point. But at the same time, though, you know, I kind of just don't want to stop. So we're just really, I think, in some level, all the actors and crew, we're just going to keep filming this till we get old because right. we just like doing it. And that's cool. I think it'll show up on screen, but like we got to stop at some point. I don't know when it's going to be. Hopefully soon. Like,
I'm assuming it's just going to sweep the award circuit, you know.
Like, mm-hmm.
Oscars, well, best actor.
I can tell you this. My mom saw it, and she said it's great.
Your mom? Wow. You know. So how do you go about just getting people to act naked in your film? Just, hey, it's gone.
Chenko
does amazing things.
You know, it's amazing what you'll be able to talk somebody into.
Right.
When you point a camera in their face. And, you know, that's kind of been my MO since day one. To really not tell people what they're getting into until we're filming. And then just be like, oh yeah, take your clothes off. And usually, they'll right. do it. Usually.
Now, one part of the film is a softcore porno that you filmed.
Yeah.
That the father watches. Now, when you do something in film, no matter how small, it's on the screen, you kind of have to film it anyway.
Yeah, so we shot a porn. Yeah.
Yeah. And the experience of that, you got to explain the experience of having shot that, because did you feel dirty coming out of the house?
Absolutely.
I mean, we've got like 3 minutes left. The fact that we're able to get through this interview was
without super. Yeah.
Without set. Now the title is Shit Heed, and we all know that the real way to say it, we can't say it on here. We spell it out for you. It's SHIT Head the movie. Follow it on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Go on its website. It's just funny. Like we did it. We got through this interview. I mean,
I didn't think we would. I didn't think this was gonna be possible.
I mean, it's a tough like thing. I mean, public radio, FCC, man.